Ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee basketball overtime. Tony Basilio reporting in the Ray Mears studio. A game that Coach Mears himself would have absolutely loved. It featured a little bit of everything. But what it really featured was an absolutely dominant performance from our basketball balls. As Tennessee came, they saw, and they conquered. As Tennessee wins rather easily today inside Thompson Bowling Arena. And we would love to hear your thoughts on today's game, as it was a dominant pillar-to-post performance from the Tennessee Volunteers. Absolutely incredible performance from Tennessee. They are to be feared, no question about it. And I'm here to proclaim to you right now that you can believe this is Kennedy Chandler's basketball team already. That is a no doubt about her. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, presented by Marcos Garza, your Garza Law firm, online at garzalaw.com, as we celebrate Tennessee's 94-62 victory today over the game but outmanned East Tennessee State Bucks. Des Oliver, longtime assistant here under Coach Rick Barnes, brought his first-year ragtag group into Thompson Bowling Arena, and they had no chance. At any point in the game, did they look like they were in this basketball game? If you want to jump in, 865-200-5402. We'll bring Brian Hartman in without further ado. My headline coming out of today's game is Tennessee's deep or talented, and Kennedy Chandler is just an excellent basketball player. That might be the best freshman that we've seen here in a long time. Maybe the best freshman I've ever seen here, and that includes Allen Houston. What an incredible athlete. Brian Hartman, I bring you in. Que pasa, amigo? Your thoughts, Bri, on what we saw, Bri, today as Tennessee rolls East Tennessee State 94-62.
Well, first of all, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And happy Victory Sunday.
Yep.
To sort of get the sting out of what happened yesterday and the bad taste out of everyone's mouth.
Yep.
As I think Kamwa, what can you say?
Yep.
He sort of put in an MVP-like performance, 23 points. He led the team in scoring and nearly led him in rebounding. It was good to see Fulkerson get back in active, as he had 10 rebounds to lead the team, but he only had 6 points. But I guess the one thing that I was a little bit disappointed in was the fact that they gave up 62 right at the end. I think they've held their first three opponents. They've all got 62 points in each game, which is kind of odd. And the late three from ETSU did it, but it sort of makes you appreciate what Steve Forbes did at ETSU, because, like I said last night, I don't think that'll ever come their way again. They were completely outmanned today. Tennessee Yep. got after it on the defensive end. You have to be really impressed with how, after the bad start against Martin, how they just sort of homed in and made ETSU do a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't go well as much for them. What's funny is Tennessee won the game without, like, shooting so many threes. They only shot 23 threes in the game. ETSU shot 32. So the Vols really just one-third of their shots were threes, which I kind of like the fact that they can do damage. And I think a lot of that is Kennedy Chandler can
pretty much
get anybody. Yeah. He can get his own shot no matter
yep.
where it is.
Yep.
And he can get you a shot no matter where you want it. Anywhere you want it, he'll get it for you.
Kamwa Bry today finishes 9 of 14 on the day, and he should have been like 12 of 14 because he missed like three – absolute, and I'm not moving cheese on him, but he missed three absolute bunnies, and they're going to get so many opportunities. A guy like him, a guy like a Brandon Hunley Hatfield, who played very little today, 15 minutes in the day, was not at any point in today's game did he look comfortable. But guys like that are going to get easy looks at the basket before it's over. John Fulkerson's going to get a lot of easy looks at the basket. But Olivier, we had said all offseason that I kept hearing he was our most improved player. And I'll be damned if he doesn't look like their most improved player. If you're leaving game today, we'd love to hear from you. 865-200-5402. And where he really is impressing me is with rebounding. If he continues to rebound the ball this way, this Tennessee team has a really high ceiling in that sport. He continues to rebound the ball to this clip. This Tennessee team, the sky's the limit in terms of what they're going to be able to accomplish. Good, Bri, your thoughts.
He still has moments of passivity. Passive, I guess, whatever the word you're looking for there is. I didn't think he was as strong with the ball at one possession, and he left a couple gimmies short. He should have had, he really should have had, as you said, 12 of 14 field goals made. So, but I like the fact that he certainly is got more burst of assertiveness than the other thing.
And that was the problem with him. The problem with him before his this season was, can he do it when the lights are on? And that was a problem. That was an issue. But not now. You've already seen through two games that he's a, you know, he's kind of a different animal. And good for him. He's put in a lot of work. Speaking of work, Kennedy Chandler, the line on him before we saw him this go around was that, hey, great little water bug athlete, great ball handler, really good kid, really solid teammate. I've talked to some people in the community that have dealt with him in the NIL end, and they tell me that he is an excellent human being, which, you know, you watch him on the court, and that is the way he comports himself. And talking to people about him as well around the team, they say he's a really good teammate. He doesn't walk around with that five-star chip on his shoulder like, hey, I'm the star, you guys aren't, get out of my way. There's none of that with him. And this team's only going to get better and better as he gets more and more acclimated and they get acclimated to each other. So I'm blown away by it's his basketball team. I mean, we're two games into this thing, and they're going to go where he goes, and he's going to take this team. They're going to go as far as he can take them. And I'm really, really impressed with him. I'm almost to the point where I'm getting ready to call him the best freshman I've ever seen here, and that includes Allen Houston. Although I don't know if I'm going to go there yet, but I'm getting pretty close to that because, you know, Bri, he had 16 points in the game, but he did that all in the first half. In the second half,
he didn't score in the second half.
Yeah, he didn't need to. He didn't need to.
And then I don't even think he had an assist in the second half.
He didn't need to. I don't think he shot the ball in the second half. He didn't need to.
And one thing Cone is doing that, yeah, I want to mention is the fact that I like his three-point shot because that creates space for him. You didn't have to defend that before, and now you do. And his scoring, that's going to open up his whole game, and it's going to help Fulkerson eventually get better looks.
Garzalaw, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, Tony Basilio with Brian Hartman at your service. If you want to jump in today, yes, we answer the bell even when the NFL's on, even when we worked past midnight last night. That's what we do here, and we'll go through some of the scoring here momentarily. We'll give you a full line, full rundown, give you some of Tennessee specialty stats like points off the bench, points in the paint, points off turnovers, that whole thing. We'll go to the phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you have a comment about today's game, perhaps a question, whatever, an observation, we'd love to hear from you. It was certainly a great day inside Thompson Bowling Arena today. Nice crowd on hand for a Sunday noon start. How about it? Something different. Hello and welcome into our first call. You're on Garzalaw Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
All right, man. Johnny Ball.
Hey, buddy. Welcome in. How you doing, brother? Good talk to you.
All right. Great talking to you all. Man, this has got to be the deepest team that I can remember. And just a couple points that you've already mentioned. It's obvious Olivia going into this season and playing for that finish team. You can even just look at him. He's he's definitely been in the weight room. Just tremendous improved player. Chandler, for me, it's been a minute since I saw Allen Houston play years ago, but I mean, this kid is just impressive, and thank goodness he signed with Tennessee and not somebody like Duke, to where we would have to sit there and just, you know, listen to Dickie V or whoever just, you know, rain praise on him. Maybe he'll rain praise at UT, because this kid is just that one move that he made, that reverse, was just that was something special. And I'm excited to see the Tennessee Villanova game. I think that'll give us a bit better gauge.
There is no way that's a penalty.
Going into the SEC season, that's kind of my take on this team. I mean, you know, they're so deep. I mean, you've already mentioned it. It's just really a deep team, and that's just going to make the rest of the players that much better. You know, we forget Powell. I mean, he,
yep.
That kid, you know, they said, well, he can drop 30, and which he can't, you know. He's just an impressive shooter, and Bruce is probably shaking his head, wishing he had stayed, but we're lucky to have him. You know, there's so many players to talk about. I mean, you know, you could do a couple of shows during the week just talking about each individual players, Tony.
I love this team. I think they're going to be fantastic. And Johnny Vol, is good hearing from you, my friend. I think the sky's going to be the limit. I'm also watching the Titans game right now. They remain the luckiest team I've ever seen in the NFL. The personal foul penalty they just called on roughing the passer is one of the worst. Well, not even get me started. I'm a sportsman, I have trouble focusing.
You'd hurt somebody worse than that with a pillow.
That's a worst call maybe in my life I've ever seen. That's Titan football for you. That's how they live and how they roll. Tennessee is off till they play Villanova. Villanova, a loser on the left coast. Late night, Friday night game. And if you caught any of that, Villanova is extremely talented. That's going to be a battle of a couple of excellent guards. And over in the tip-off, Hall of Fame tip-off tournament, which is going to take place up at Yonkersville, Connecticut, at the casino up there. And then... following that game, depending on what happens, Tennessee will either draw North Carolina or Purdue. So that is excellent way to start the season and a good measuring stick for this team. 865-200-5402 is the number. Again, 865-200-5402. If you have a thought on today's action, Garza Law, Marcos Garza, your Garza Law firm, online garzalaw.com. Your go-to law firm when it comes to DUI defense, criminal defense, personal injury, Social Security disability, 100 years combined experience. Look, if you're looking for honest, trustworthy legal representation, they've got you covered. And you're dealing with East Tennessee's most trusted and competent DUI defense, criminal defense, disability, personal injury attorneys. Available 24/7 at GarzaLaw.com. Again, at GarzaLaw.com. And you know, today you can pop open a Miller Lite and celebrate the way the Volunteers play today, because you get together, you want to get together around the original light beer. It's Miller time. I encourage you to celebrate responsibly. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402, the number. Let's go ahead and jump back to our busy phones. If you want to join us on a day where Tennessee had 33 points off the bench, which will continue all season long. And, you know, this Powell kid, who Rick Barnes, I'm going to give you a little aside from somebody that was on the court today. I got a little spy down there. Rick Barnes got into Powell pretty good in the first half. I'm going to give you a little backstory here, but that's a guy that can really shoot the ball. Tennessee went last year, Brian, from a team that had zero shooting to a team this year that has an embarrassing riches of shooting on the collegiate level, Brian.
that didn't need to shoot much today. They only only took 23 three-pointers, and there'll be some days where they won't have to do that, but to go under that kind of transformation with the same coach to a team that could not shoot threes last year to one that's shooting them like they are this year is just, I mentioned it the other night, it's, you don't see it very often.
Give him credit. Give Rick Barnes credit, because he's changing his feathers here and he's turning his guys loose. I give him credit for that. Hello and welcome. But he still wants guys to play defense, which is we're going to get to.
How many players log minutes today? I think they had like 18 different players log minutes today, which is, you never see that.
Yeah, so Chandler played, Fulkerson played, Nkumwa May played, Vescovi, obviously, James, Adu got in the game, played 2 minutes. Janzik played, Plavy played 10 minutes. Sulak played 2 minutes. Powell, Gilbert, is that John Gilbert's son? Meshack played, Bailey Jr. played, Zig Ziglar, Dabunje played. Let's go back to our phones. Hello and welcome into our next call.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in, Donnie.
I tell you what, it was pretty impressive. They just like decided we don't have to shoot three. We'll just do something different. I tell you what, of course, Kumwa has been a revelation so far. Obviously, Kennedy Chandler's the best. I go way, 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 way back to the 60s. But as far as a point guard goes, he's the best freshman I've seen.
You're saying, is he? Could he walk out of here as the best point guard to ever play here before this thing's over?
To this point, I think so. I mean, he can do what he wants to do. I was really disappointed if I missed a three after hitting seven in a row, but
yeah,
I'm pretty good for a guy that was supposed to be his Achilles heel.
The point is, John, he's worked extremely hard at it, extremely hard on his game.
And when you're naturally that talented and you do that.
Yep.
I see they call enough penalties to get the Houston Titans into the end zone.
It's unbelievable. It's disgusting, Don.
I'm pretty sure I saw back-to-back roughing penalties a while ago.
It's disgusting.
The refs just ushered them into the end zone.
Yep.
It's incredible.
And Tannehill has the balls to celebrate. It's incredible.
Going back to the basketball, I'll tell you, Bailey put on some moves today, not just hitting threes. He looked pretty good driving the lane.
You know where Bailey looked good? He looked engaged defensively. You know why he looks that way? Because when you've got a guy like Powell in your face for minutes and you know you're minute challenged, you can't go out there and lollygag with this team at any of those wing or off-guard positions and think you're going to get minutes. Got to play hard every time you're on the floor now, which is a lesson. Let me give you what happened with Powell. So Rick Barnes pulls Powell aside when they pulled him out of the game and said, do you hear the way that they're talking about you over there? Oliver was saying, drive the ball at him early in the game. And a couple guys went around him, and they pulled him out of the game. And Barnes said to him, you play defense like that, you're not going to play here. So don't play defense that way. He said he's yelling that for a reason about you. Have some pride, which is pretty strong, by the way, but that happened today.
Yeah. I've only seen sparingly, of course, there's not been a lot of basketball, too, seeing some of it was conflicting with college football, so I didn't see much there. Did see just a smidgen of
Villanova.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going against the West Coast team out
UCLA.
There.
Sorry, it was Friday night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and I saw a little bit of Mark Few's bunch in between some games last night. But the biggest thing I think this year, you know what, you know, we talked about it over and over from mid-season on, and we just got really, really scoring challenged. I don't think that's going to be the case here.
Nope.
Not when you got that many guys that can stand out there and volume shoot threes. You're going to be able. One of the announcers talked today about them and Auburn. What do you think? 150-140?
Oh man, are you kidding?
It'll be a wild, wild time in the smoky that night. But
them, anyhow. Alabama and Arkansas, any of those teams, and I appreciate you all, Don. Thank you. One of the go ahead, Brian.
That's like the Ole Miss. That'll be like the Ole Miss football game of basketball season. Just all the points, and then you've got an ex-coach coming back here that most people loved.
I'll tell you the other thing too, and Roy Philpott was talking about this. He said, how in the world is this team picked fourth in this league with that collection of talent? And the truth is, as the analyst said working today's game, the truth is that you could take the first five teams in this league and shake them up, and easily the first four, but I'll go five, but you can take the first four teams in this league and shake them up, and there's going to be a lot of teams beating on each other at the top of our conference because there are some really great basketball to be played at the top of this league. A lot of great young players, a lot of dynamic young players, but a lot of deep teams as well. Arkansas, Alabama are extremely deep, extremely talented. Tennessee's extremely deep, extremely talented. We'll go back to the phones.
It's going to be hard for teams to go through like Alabama did last year, where they were 16-2. I bet the champion has at least four losses.
Yep.
And home court's going to be tremendously big this year because of the crowds are going to be back in it.
I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that portions of today's Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime, it is time for you to consider a couple weeks away what you're going to do for Thanksgiving dinner. Leave the cooking to Calhoun's, and you can get it either hot or you can get it so you can bring it home, take it, and bake it with one of their Calhoun's Thanksgiving party packs. Because their Calhoun's with the scrumptious, delicious, melt-in-your-mouth turkey, the incredible dressing, all the fixings, and then they'll give you some cheesecake as well. It's an incredible deal. And you can also get one of their holiday family packs right on through the Christmas holiday and the New Year. So you can get it with the prime ribs. Jordan Howe, what's up? And amazing stuff. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. But Calhoun's going to take great care of you. So leave the heavy lifting to them this holiday season. As we go back to the phones and get our next call in, hello and welcome in on Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction / basketball overtime.
Hey, Tony. It's Dave in Ackworth. How you doing?
Hey, Dave. Welcome in.
Hey, appreciate you guys being on after the game, especially on a Sunday, especially
always.
After a long night. We really appreciate it. I tell you what I was looking for tonight was, see how we improved from the game one to game two. And I want your guys' take on this. What do you think? I think John Fulkerson makes a huge difference on the defensive end of the court. They shot 23%. ETSU shot 23% in the first half. I think whoever we played in the first game shot close to 50. And I think because Fulkerson can handle that high ball screen so well and just causes problems on the defensive end because he's so active. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I agree with that. And, you know, Folky's not where he's going to be right now because he was rusty today. But there's no question. Tennessee was just better on the defensive end. You know, another area that they were better was Kennedy Chandler wasn't gambling. They obviously got to him and said, hey, we need you to play sound, solid defense, help us on the other end, but we need you to kind of stay at home here. And I thought they were better defensively all the way around. Now, was that the opponent? I don't know. Time will tell. The thing about Villanova in a week is Villanova's going to test Tennessee's defense, no doubt about it. They're going to be really well coached. They've got a couple of veteran players that are going to try Tennessee, and then they've got excellent perimeter play, as they always do.
I agree. And you mentioned Bailey earlier.
Yeah.
He made that one drive to the bucket and then got down to the other end of the court, to the corner, because they tried to deep throw the ball to his
lob over him, right?
And got down there, and now he ended up getting a foul, but he made a great play just to get down there and get in the way. And I tell you what, I think that guy, like you said, he's probably pushing for minutes, but I think he's putting forth a tremendous effort on defense. Now, he's got limitations, but his effort, you cannot question. And I'm impressed with his effort every game, every time I've seen him play.
Well, he's going to have to play like that to stay on the floor, and I think he knows that. I think most observers of Tennessee basketball believe that Bailey eventually is going to be an odd man out in this deal as minutes restrict. You know, when they start to shrink down in terms of the rotation. Mm-hmm. And it's up to him to make that not be reality. It's up to him if he's going to stay on the floor. Look, if he plays with that kind of hustle today, he's going to be very hard to take off the floor because he shot it well. You know, he was pretty good. He was pretty good today in the game. And so, you know, he was 4-6 from the field. He finished with 9 points. He only shot 2 threes. He made one. He was extremely economical. He didn't turn the ball over. I mean, he basically had. He was plus 32 on the team with a plus minus in the advanced statistics, which was the best number on the ball club. So that was a great day for him, man. If I'm him today, I'm feeling pretty good about the day I had.
Yeah, you get that from him every week, every game. He's going to be on the court a lot more than just a few minutes.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
Hey, how do you get Huntley Hatfield involved in the offense a little bit more? He seems a little bit lost out there.
I think Kennedy Chandler eventually, maybe they run some things for him. Yeah, he was not engaged today at all. He has not looked quick twitchy thus far. Yeah, he hasn't been impressive in their two real basketball games. Now, he was pretty good in their scrimmage. He was great in their scrimmage with Davidson. And he was okay in the exhibition game. But, yeah, he's got a ways to go, it looks like.
Yeah. Thinking too much, maybe?
I don't know. But I appreciate your call. Thank you, my friend.
You,
yeah, good talking to you in beautiful Ackworth. 865-200-5402 if you want to join.
Anyone who wants to get a look at Villanova, Tuesday night, 6:30 on FS2, they play Howard. That's their last game before they play Tennessee next Saturday.
Very good.
While the Vols have, I guess it's 6 days off.
Yep, and they're going to need it.
Right.
They're going to need it. Tennessee looks like they've gotten a lot better in just one game. And I was really impressed with their improvement on the defensive end today. And to your point, Brian, a lot of people played. And Tennessee basically poured it on. And they did what they did today. But I tell you, Brandon Huntley Hatfield struggled around today. Tennessee showed no mercy today to Des Oliver. Rick Barnes did, you know, they didn't call on the dogs. They poured it on. And it kind of was what it was. But my two takeaways, my real takeaway is this Kennedy Chandler's basketball team. I mean, we've played 80 minutes of basketball, and it's officially his team. And the second observation is Kumwa is much better than he was last year. Much better.
One thing, they had 14 steals, which is a high number. And I don't know if that's sloppy ETSU or whatever it was, but that's pretty good.
That's excellent.
You know, that three by Chandler, three by Vescovi, three by Bailey.
A lot of effort on defense.
Two by James.
One observation on Vesco I want to make. Guy needs to slow down, man. This is not 2 years ago. In my humble opinion, they need him to find his spots on the floor, spot up, and shoot the basketball. They don't need him dribbling into traffic. They don't need him trying to create things. And I think it's going to be a slow go for him learning his role. Now, obviously, he's going to back up Chandler and get some minutes of point guard. But when they're both on the floor, he got himself pinned a couple times today against East Tennessee State. Imagine what that'll look like. Imagine what that'll look like when you go up in competition, say next week with Villanova. Villanova will see that on film, too. They'll try to drive him into traps. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as we can. I mean, you got to love, though, his ability to shoot the ball, even though today it was a rough go for Vesco, 1 of 7 from three-point land, but he gets a green light from me to shoot the ball. The guy who is just incredible is this Powell guy. The guy's 3 of 4 from three-point land. And I don't know the last time we've seen a guy that can stroke a three ball like him. Small sample size at Auburn last year. How's a guy shoot around 50% from three-point land? When you look at his stroke, that's how you do it. His issue, though, is going to be the defense. And that's why Barnes was getting on him today, as he's going to continue to get on those off guards, because that's going to be a real issue with this basketball team. On the defensive end is going to be a real issue for them. And I think they're trying to get out in front of it. You saw Schwartz today when they pulled him out talking to him, and Barnes really got into him at one time. And look, I love the kid. Don't mistake me sharing those anecdotes with you. As I don't want to be anybody to think that I don't think that kid's an excellent basketball player.
He was the third scorer in double figures.
Yeah, he's
4 of 6, 11 points, which was quiet.
Oh, it's a quiet.
He didn't score in the first half.
Brian, this guy can score in volume, and he's the type of guy like Lofton used to be that can go on 9 to 12 point runs for himself. Back to the phones we go. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony, how are you doing?
Welcome in. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, thanks, Tony. We came down from Johnson City, ETSU here fan, and watched the game at the stadium, and they put on a really good Veterans Day celebration there for all the veterans that were at the stadium. But we were definitely impressed with Kennedy Chandler. He's certainly the real deal. His quickness is unbelievable.
He's Mr. Jennings-like, isn't he?
He's incredible with the ball, and certainly UT is spoiled, it looks like, this year with their point guard play. Their backup guard was just as effective. I would caution, though, you know, having lived here in Knoxville for many years before we moved back to Johnson City, this ETSU team is not your average ETSU team like it was under Steve Forbes when he had the program going.
No, it's ragtag group.
Under Oliver,
yep.
This is there are a bunch of new players. They really weren't running a good offense at the beginning and just threw up a lot of three balls. So a lot of those turnovers that you and Brian talked about were really more errors on ETSU ball handlers. But certainly UT, you know, has a lot to be credited with. It was an impressive performance. They shot the ball well, and the Powell kid was definitely a standout in the second half.
See, the thing I love about East Tennessee State fans like yourself is you guys love hoops, and you're very knowledgeable about it. And if you're familiar with our program, you know we had Steve Forbes on a whole bunch when he was there and had it going.
Absolutely.
And we wish Des Oliver well. The trouble that East Tennessee State would have with a team like Tennessee today is you can kind of pick your poison. First of all, it's early season, and Tennessee's just much better. Secondly, when I looked at East Tennessee State today, I thought, what are you trying to do? And I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure if they're sure what they were trying to do today.
I don't think they're sure at all.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right.
That's my read on that.
An offensive performance. They, you know, Oliver was interviewed and basically had said after their first game, his philosophy is he'll let the players run what they want to on offense and try to get them to play some defense. But I think he's evolving in that direction. It's kind of a free-willing, you know, let the players do what they do type of offense, and hopes he gets some performance on defense.
Yeah, does that work long term? What do you think?
I don't. I mean, I know that it's very different than what Forbes had installed with them. It remains to be seen. I mean, they're picked to be fourth or fifth in the Southern Conference, so this will be a learning experience for them. It was on a big stage. Obviously, seeing the caliber of players that they played against, they're not going to see those in the rest of the Southern Conference season, but it gives them something to look forward to. But I think for Tennessee, you know, I've listened to you for 20 years. We lived down here before we moved back to Johnson City, but this should be the best Barnes coach team that UT has seen in his tenure, and I certainly expect them to be, you know, a major player when it comes to March.
Great observation all the way around. And the thing that breaks our heart, me and Brian were lamenting us last night on a Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction when I was promoting that we would be on the air after the game today. And by the way, all lines are jammed, so thank you to people for finding us in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. Brian pointed out, and he's right, and Matt said it as well, East Tennessee State had a Sweet 16 basketball team, and COVID wrecked that for them. And that breaks my heart because that program's yet to win an NCAA tournament game. And that year, I think you were going to go Sweet 16 / Elite 8 with the team you had. And that's the thing that really breaks my heart for the Bucks basketball fans like yourself. And I hope you have a good, safe trip back, and enjoy us part of the way, my friend. It was great talking with you, okay?
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate what you do, and very glad to be able to talk to you. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Have a great Sunday. Alumni Hall, part of Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime today. They're having a be on the lookout because they have a line coming out soon as both freshmen are under their employ. And our super freshmen, make no mistake about it, the Kennedy Chandler line is coming soon to an alumni hall near you, your Tennessee shopping destination with the absolute best selection of gear, and they've got some great stuff for the hoop season. Brian, do you remember back in the day how you couldn't find anything that said Tennessee basketball on it?
Yeah, they've also did a lot of things during baseball season to
exactly
get a lot of
right.
stuff out there.
That's
they've really been a big pusher in as far as just getting stuff for all sports. They've got it all covered. You can probably get you an SEC championship soccer T-shirt if you wanted one.
And that's the thing. Talking to Jeff the other day over there, my man Jeff Goodfriend, is that they, at the end of the day, want to support all these sports and are very, very excited for basketball season. So the holidays are right around the corner. Amazing brand names like Nike, Nike Golf, Champion, so many more. Great women's fashion as well. Gear for the kids. 10% student and military discount in store. Shop online anytime, anywhere in the world. AlumniHall.com. Alumni Hall is your go-to shopping destination for Tennessee gear. I'm going back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Your thoughts on what we saw. I'd love to hear from you if you were encountering busy signals. Now would be a good opportunity for you to jump in. Tennessee bench points today. They had 33. Points in the paint, 42 in the game. Points off turnovers, 26. Off 17 opposition turnovers. 20 second chance points in the game. 19 offensive rebounds. 22 fast break points. They were 15 of 33 on layups. And that is one thing that Tennessee is going to have to get better at, and particularly Olivia Kumwa, who had a nice day scoring, but it could have been nicer. Got to finish around the basket. Fulkerson as well today. Fulkerson was 2 of 6 from the field, and ordinarily he would have finished today's game 5 of 6 from the field, but a lot of rust on him, as to be expected after having a couple of weeks off. Tennessee did never trailed in the game. 74 possessions, scored 42 times, 1.2 points per possession. And Tennessee,
I think
they trailed for 58 seconds.
They trailed 3-0, and then it was 6-6, and that was it.
58 seconds. I remember the early part of the game. Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome in. Hello and welcome in. You're on Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello.
Knox Browns, Bozzolio.
Hello and welcome in. Even that moron has a phone that works on Sunday. That probably cost him a buck and a half at the payphone because he doesn't have his own phone. Hello and welcome into our next call.
Morning, Zion, huh?
Hey, Philly.
How you doing, Brian?
Doing good, Phil. How you doing, buddy?
Well, it was fairly impressive. I didn't think they'd beat East Tennessee State by 30 points.
The odds makers didn't, Phil. 16-point line. So the odds makers certainly didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I thought that was low. I thought it should have been around 23, 24.
30 points, a lot of points, Phil.
Yeah, it is. They got a lot of talent. And like you said earlier, it's Kenny Chandler's team. If he's as good as I think he is, he'd be the best freshman we've had since Bernard King.
Wow. I thought Allen Houston was pretty damn impressive as a freshman, but I'll roll with you there on Bernard King. I wasn't around here in these parts for that.
Yeah, way to fade was there, though.
That's a good point.
Kind of counteracts it, you know what I'm saying?
Think about where Kennedy Chandler's starting, Phil, and how good he's going to be once he gets comfortable at this level, once his teammates get comfortable around him, because they left a lot of points. I mean, they had 94 today, but they left a lot of points on the court today. Because they're just not used to getting the ball where he gets the ball to him. He's amazing, his vision.
He could have had five or six more assists if Tennessee had finished.
Yep.
And Powell, he's a pure shooter. There's no doubt about that. I mean, his defense may struggle, but that's why I think Tennessee's putting him a little bit at the three, because he can guard a three man better than he can on off guard.
Let's bring Matt Dixon in here. Matt, your observations, Philly's observation on Powell. I told the story about how Barnes was kind of getting on him when Des Oliver was openly screaming, hey, take the ball at him, take the ball at him. And Barnes basically telling Powell today, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the guy that they're calling. They're calling you out over there. Matt, your thoughts on Phil's observation of how they can hide him defensively at the three?
It's a really, really good observation. That's a really good thought on Phil's part. I think there was a stretch in the second half we went with that four guard lineup, and he was playing the three with Triple J at the four.
Yep.
So that's a really good observation, Phil, to do that, because, you know, let's be honest, this team is clearly taking a few steps back defensively from last year. Now they're a lot better offensively, I think, or at least potentially. So I'm just going to be curious to see how Barnes coaches a team that maybe isn't quite as good defensively as he wants them to be. Is he going to, you know, press them and let that hurt offensively, or is he just going to kind of let them kind of free flow and play more like he did that team a few years ago that won 31 games?
You know, Matt, at the end of the day, and Phil, jump in here, at the end of the day, you can only do with what you have. You know, you don't have quick defenders here. You don't have a bunch of guys. It isn't like they're not trying.
Yeah.
And by the way, somebody was asking me why Powell left Auburn. I did a little investigation into that, and here's what I've come up with. See if this lines up with what you guys have heard. He liked it there. He liked Bruce Pearl. They liked each other. He hated playing point guard. Despised playing point guard. And felt put upon playing point guard. And one of the things Tennessee's told him is, we don't expect you to do that when he transferred in here.
Well, a slim shoot. That's what he's.
Yes.
That's what Vesco's going to have to learn how to do. Like you talked earlier about that.
Yep.
Vesco's hurting them by doing too much dribbling and getting stuck in the paint. I don't understand what he's doing.
Philly, that I get the first couple of years here, he was a guy that they put the ball in his hands a couple years ago and said, go out and make plays, until everybody got a handle on him, and it became harder for him. And then last year he kind of struggled around a little bit. Matt, I think Vesco's over dribbling. I think he hasn't adjusted to the fact that he doesn't need to play the way he did play. Now, maybe he'll figure that out. Maybe he'll find that. Maybe they'll let him see the light of day. I think he's dribbling around too much, Matt, for my money.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that he's become a lot more aggressive playing off the ball. That's been really interesting to see, because maybe it's just he's not overthinking things out there as much as he had been playing point. But I thought he should have been more aggressive, you know, the last year and a half when he was bringing the ball up. But I do agree, he's, you know, against teams that have athletes to defend you, he can't dribble into double teams and into traps as much as he will.
Yeah, go for a spot up and shoot. That's what he needs to learn how to do. That ought to be his strength.
Spot up.
He's missing wide on threes this year. I don't understand it, but
he'll hit them, Philly.
Well, he's got to hit them. And you look at Conwell. I'm very surprised that he's playing this well. I hope this is not just a. We'll find out these next two games if Conwell's for real or not.
Well, Phil, all offseason I kept hearing, especially in camp, that he was the guy that took the biggest step. And that's exactly, Phil, what happened with him. He's taken the biggest step.
So what it looks like, don't it?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean,
that way you can bring Hatfield along slowly.
You can't fake the way he's playing right now.
Nope, they're going to need Hatfield when they play some of these athletic teams. Just putting Fulkerson in the game today, though, you can see it helped our offense a lot, because now people, at least, they're going to have to guard Fulkerson inside, and that opens up a wide open three.
If this Conwell had showed up last year, they could have probably made the Sweet 16 with it.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't know. Let's not get carried away.
Yeah.
Still didn't have a point guard.
That's exactly
right. Boy,
I'm a little concerned about our rim protection this year. You know, we obviously they couldn't exploit it today, but you know, we I don't know if we have really good interior defense to defend the paint as well this year. And we certainly don't have a shot blocker like Pons to kind of erase everything, but I'm not sure we have that kind of 6'10", 7-footer to disrupt shots down low.
And that is what you're about to find out about your team next week, because you're going to punch up in class. That Villanova team's good enough to stretch Tennessee in that regard. You'll get a good look at a lot of different things and get a good feel for where you are. But yeah, Matt, that's a concern of mine as well. Is rim protection?
We got a rebound, guys. That's how we got to get on the boards. I mean, they can make up East Ponds. East Ponds is not that big of a loss if Tennessee rebounds with the front line they got right now.
You know, if Olivier continues, Phil, to play and be as active as he is, the rebounding is really a huge issue for this team. And if he's able to, Phil, to continue to rebound the way that he has through two games, that club's going to be just fine.
Yeah, they will be. And just let them play and don't browbeat them like he did with that good team we had 3 years ago.
Philly, we might need to get you in here for Villanova. What time's the tip time on that, Philly?
It's 1 o'clock Saturday morning, isn't it? I'll be there. Just got any beer in that refrigerator?
1 o'clock Saturday. So we've got wait a second. So I've got double duty next Saturday. I got double duty. Is that what you guys are telling me?
I think it's a 1 o'clock tip.
So it's over at 3. And then the football game's at 7.
And we don't know what their Sunday game will start. I assume that'll be late afternoon, but because they're going to play Saturday and Sunday. And that will be their last Sunday game of the season. Unless it's the SEC Tournament Championship game or an NCAA Tournament game much, much later.
This session never ends. 865-200-5402. Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tennessee wins today rather easily with East Tennessee State. Matt, other observations from you today from what you saw?
Obviously, Kennedy Chandler special. Hopefully, we're trying to work behind the scenes to – are there NIL deals big enough to get him to stay for another year?
Hope so, Matt.
He's just incredible and so smooth out there.
Yep.
Really didn't even play in the second half. I don't know how many minutes he got, but he didn't really play.
He played 26 minutes, and he did not have to. That's his basketball team, Matt.
Yeah, and it clearly it is, and I don't think it's going to be an issue of Barnes yanking him out.
You know,
over every little mistake. He's the point guard, and they're going to just kind of ride or die with him, which is probably a good thing.
It'd be nice if they could do that more in the second half with him, because that way he won't hit that freshman wall that they keep talking about.
That's a great point, Brian. I like that they got him off the floor today. That's a great – in these games, get him off the floor. Don't burn him out right now. Good point, Brian. Anything else on today, Matt? Observations, live, things you saw. By the way, I'm at the SDTSU fan. How many people they bring today?
They had a decent – it was just a really good crowd overall.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really look around to see the ETSU fans. There was about 5 of them, 2 rows in front of us, who were treating it like a Final Four game until they went – scored 3 points the last 10 minutes of the first half.
Big game to them, man.
He was nervous talking through every possession.
It big
was
game
very,
to
very,
them.
Yep. Very, very annoying.
Yep. Hey, here's the thing. I knew it was going to be a big crowd because – just talking to Clarkey, he said as fast as he could post tickets up, tickets were being gobbled. And, you know, the thought was, and I told people last night it was going to be a pretty big crowd there, get over there early, and their traffic was pretty bad outside from what I understand. Not shocking when you stop and think about the fact you had a game yesterday. You got a lot of people that want to see this star-studded basketball team. It's a great mix of young and old that's got some real promise. And it makes sense. You had a game that ended last night. Many people that stayed over And I think there were a lot of people like Eric Waddell. This is Eric's first basketball game, and like I think he said, told me 10 or 12 years. And good for him. I'm glad he was in there.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed and I was curious about after, you know, the 3-point barrage from that other game was, you know, you get Fulke back, and we made an emphasis to play inside out a whole lot more today. I think they only had maybe 10 3-point attempts in the first half, and two of them came there in the last 5 seconds. So they made an emphasis to play inside out, that kind of traditional Barnes offense. It'll be curious to see how that evolves over the season and if they kind of do a matchup on that. Or maybe they have some games where they're jacking up 35 threes and others where they're taking, you know, the 15, the 20. That's going to be curious to watch because this team's got some shooters. Maybe not the most consistent players, but you know, you got some guys who can go for 12 or 15 on just about any night, which – it's something that we really haven't had here in a few years.
Back to the phones we go. I couldn't agree with that more. You know, it isn't going to be like a one-handed team where if one guy goes stone cold, you're going home. These guys have three or four guys that can go on human 12-point runs, which is a very rare thing at this level. Hello and welcome into our next call.
I'm both ends of the floor, unfortunately.
Well, that's a good point. Hello and welcome into our next call.
Hey, Tony, Joshy Boy.
Under Wings. Joshy Boy, welcome in.
Tony, after yesterday, it was much needed from the Vols win today in basketball, and I'm watching the Tennessee Titans take care of business right now. But on to my first point, Tony. Do you think Kennedy Chandler could have had a couple more assists? Do you think he could have had a double-double if some guys would have finished?
Josh, yeah, he could have easily had a double-double, and he could have played more in the second half and easily gotten that. And I think Philly said it, that he has three or four assists that he doesn't get credited for each game, these first two games. So, yeah, you're spot on there. And apologies for not recognizing you at halftime yesterday. I was kind of in the zone and a little frustrated.
Yeah, I know that you're locked in, Matt, but to my first question for you and Brian, do you, looking at the matchup for Saturday against Villanova, do you think Tennessee can hang around for the whole game until the final buzzer against Villanova? What do you guys think?
I'd say yes, just without seeing Villanova. I just think this Tennessee team's that good that they can, there's nobody they should be afraid of.
Brian, our daily show this week, we ought to preview that one. We ought to see if we can run somebody down from Nova up there in Philly and see if we can't get a good look, see at that. I might aid you with that. There's a couple guys in the Philly market I'd like to call. And maybe we can also run down at some point this week our guy Jerry Meyer as well and break it down scientifically with him moving right to left on your radio dial.
Is that UT, the UT grad still up there at Philly who covered Temple last year?
I haven't seen him. I don't know.
I think he covered St. Joe.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Or St. Joe, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I've looked for him in the Philadelphia paper up there. I haven't seen him. Jermichael?
They could have moved. I mean, they'd move so frequently that he could have already been out of there.
Yep. Maybe he had the sense to get out of that place.
Tony, has Colin Gillespie, has he been at Villanova longer than John Fulkerson has been at Tennessee?
Boy, I think they're going to have a battle. Colin Gillespie's been there forever, hasn't he?
I think he played with Scotty Reynolds back in the day.
I mean, it's incredible.
They've changed his name once or twice, but that's the exact same player that's been their point guard for 12 years.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And to my last question, guys.
Going to get worked by Kennedy Chandler, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Worked. Going to get worked, Josh. Worked. Going to get worked.
But, Tony, do you think Hunley Hatfield needs to get more aggressive?
Hunley Hatfield does not look comfortable. And I don't know what I don't know what the deal is with him, but thank you. Let's go back to our phones. He does not look like a five-star player thus far. But we'll see what happens. Let's give him a shot.
Hello? You know, he's a high school senior, Tone.
And that's a good point, too. That's a really good point.
That's why you play 30-something games.
Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. But yeah, he doesn't look comfortable just yet. And that's a great point, Matt. That needs to be said. He is a high school senior. Hello and welcome into our next call. You're live on the air on Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. It's Richard.
Hey, Richard, welcome in.
Oh, man. Yeah, always good. Beautiful day today. So I had a good morning. Got a chance to meet with the church, take of communion with the Lord's table. That was awesome. And then come home, watch a little UT basketball. So blessed day so far, Tony.
You got it. And now you're interfacing with me. I mean, could it get any better?
Absolutely. That is right. Hey, you know, watching the game and just seeing how things, you know, again, transpired and everything, you know, going into the season, we were all looking at this team. At least I was saying, okay, well, we knew we had an elite point guard. To go deep in the tournament like we're all looking like we want to do is get deep into the tournament, a chance to get to the Final Four, you got to have an elite point guard. Well, we knew we signed one. Just exactly how elite could he be in his first year? Well, we weren't for sure about that. Well, in the first couple of games, okay, check that box right there. And I know he's going to have some tough games coming up against some really good basketball teams and some players and stuff, but, man, he's good. Just has the complete and total package. One other thing that was our transfers and how would we look with Justin Powell. Knew the guy could shoot the ball. Well, Tony, the guy is a 50% three-point shooter. Every time it leaves his hand, it's like it's going in. And if it doesn't, it just, again, just grazed a little rim. That's the only reason why it didn't go in. So this, again, this team, its ability to shoot the ball, to stretch you at various places is just good. And then the other thing was, again, was on Fulkerson. Would the incredible Fulk come back to his junior year ability? And if he played at that level that he finished his junior year, well, then we would take care of our five spot and we'd be like, okay, now we got a chance, you know, to make a run because we have other good little pieces around it. But the one thing none of us expected was Kamwa to make the huge leap that he's made. And I don't care if it's against East Tennessee State or not. What he did today and his ability he showed was awesome. And just the ability to shoot the ball. He looks pretty shooting the three. It's not ugly what he's doing from three. He's made one in each game, made two today. And it's not an ugly shot. It's a smooth stroke that he has. And so just give the guy credit, man. If we just get 8 to 10 a game, 8 to 10 rebounds a game, you know what that does for this team to go with Falk inside?
Are you kidding me?
And our shooters?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's the thing. Like I said, long way to go. A lot of improvement to do. A lot of bench players that can come in. Again, you know, Victor Bailey played hard today, played hard and every minute and liked it, what I saw. Again, just the little depth thing that we have and the players. And, again, Vescovi and all them, you know, he had an off game shooting today. We, you know, like I said, we could easily put up 110 points in this game. We'd made some open shots that we had. But, again, it's just amazing. Now, saying that, it's about improvement. It's about getting better. And that's what I want to see this team do. I want to see if finally a Tennessee team under Rick Barnes play as good in the middle to the end of the season as they are at the beginning.
You said that, I didn't. You said it, I didn't. But and that's a million-dollar question with this coach and with this ball club. I'll tell you, this team right here has the opportunity and should do that. This team should get absolutely better as they go. And to Brian's point, a good way to do that is in games like this, get Kennedy Chandler off the floor. Let's not wear him out. And get your starters off the floor. Play your bench like you did today in the second half. Empty that bench, man. Don't be afraid to do that.
No, hey, because you know what? If you need to put a little zig in there for a few minutes to run the point, the guy is he's a tough-nosed defensive player. Gets in the face. He can give you some good minutes.
Absolutely.
As he learns.
Absolutely.
So, no. Let's go. Hey, and I watched the Villanova game against UCLA, so I got a chance to watch Villanova and all that what they are. So we match up well against them. This Tennessee team and all that we have, I can tell you, Villanova is going to have their hands full with what we're going to bring to the table. And we're going to have our hands full with them as well. Colin Gillespie does make that team go. He was the best player for them the other night. He gets them in the right offense. He makes big-time threes. And so he is the key. He's the guy we got to definitely concentrate on. They're not they're the same Villanova as far as they don't have the inside guy that just dominates the paint. They run their offense cuts, and they got a couple, you know, decent-sized big guys like we do that play hard inside and will rebound and make it difficult on some shots and stuff like that. But it's the that kind of Villanova team. But I like it. I think it's a great matchup. It's going to come down to, again, which team doesn't turn the ball over and make shots. And that was a fun game. I also watched Gonzaga last night, too. So I wanted to watch them against Texas and see what they did against all of Chris Beard's brand-new team that he put on the floor.
Well, Richard, so much love to you. Appreciate the breakdown as you move scientifically from right to left on your radio dial.
Here's
and old Richard, he gets words in there now. Go ahead, Bri.
Here's a little bit of a surprise. Florida leads 20th-ranked Florida State 70-53 with 2:04 to play in the game.
That is a surprise.
In Gainesville.
That is a surprise. They hammered my Penn boys the other night. Florida did. Like, they weren't even there. Of course, my Penn boys got beat by a couple nights later. They got beat by one of those Eastern concerns, some directional school. I think it was George Mason might have ripped them apart. Come to think about it, your boy Kim English. Go ahead, Matt.
And,
you were saying.
And the big ticket, don't forget. Did you say that was 70-52, Brian?
71-55 now, 138 to play.
Almost the score of Florida's football game yesterday.
Yeah.
865-200-5402. By the way, those of you who are Florida fans, I'm on the Keep Dan Mullen train. I hope you'll join me in echoing that. And by the way, I do want to say that I agree with him. I think last night's win was a great win for their football team, for their football program. And he said that walking off the field last night, and he's got those people down there in a real tizzy. Hello and welcome into our next call. Garza Law, Tennessee Garza Basketball Law. Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony B, TC in Athens.
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Hey, guys, good to talk to you again. It wasn't that long ago that I talked to you all last night. I finally calmed down a little.
Good for you.
But anyway, my daughter and I, man, we went to the game today. And
nice.
And headed back to the land of obnoxious dog barking pricks. And but anyway, you know, if I had one word to describe Kennedy Chandler, I think the word would be smooth. He just looks so smooth. He never looks like he's rushing anything or out of control. He looks like he's in complete control of the offense. His shot is smooth. The way he creates is smooth. Just everything about him is so smooth.
I think that's right on the money. I mean, he does not look like a freshman out there or a young kid at all.
No, the game looks pretty slow to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Yes. I mean, you're a musician, right? So in music, when it slows down for you is when it kind of becomes mm-hmm. real. And, man, it looks like it is just so easy for this guy. Just so easy out there.
And I know the competition's going to ramp up, and that's going to change some. But even, you know, even at times today when Biscovi was kind of taking the ball and it, you know, when Chandler was getting a blow or whatever, I mean, Biscovi sometimes just looks so out of control at times. It's like, dude, just calm down and let it come to you, you know. And it seems like a Kennedy Chandler does it already. Just one last comment. You know, this is the kind of team that can have a great season and make a run in the tournament because you've got young, dynamic talent and guys like Kennedy Chandler, and yet you still have veterans on the team like Fulkerson and even Kamwa and Visco. You know, there's several veterans on this team as well that have been around, that have seen it, that know how to kind of handle Rick Barnes, you know, because they've been there, done that, and can encourage these young guys if it gets a little tough on them, so to speak, coming from Barnes. It's just that kind of team that this is the kind of team it seems like can make a run, you know, through the season and into the tournament. So that's I'm excited, man. Look forward to what's to come.
Yeah, my intel is that, and I appreciate the call, thank you. Josiah James has played that role behind the scenes as Barnes has chewed on some people, and I know he did it in the first game the other night. A couple people noticed that. But he's played the role of being the guy who's jumped in there and, you know, tried to stem the tide of you know, some of these guys drawing Barnes' ire. Matt, what do you make of the anecdote I got from the gentleman that was down on the floor with what Barnes said tonight to the Powell kid, or this afternoon to Powell, regarding the way that Des Oliver was basically telling his team to drive the ball at him?
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's probably some carryover from practice, because I don't think Powell got on the floor. I think Bailey even got on the floor ahead of him tonight, mm-hmm. or today. Mm-hmm. So that there was probably some carryover from practice, and then obviously, you know, you could tell. I thought it was funny in the second half. We had Viscovi, Bailey, and Powell out there on the perimeter guarding guys. So if you had played the over, you were really happy watching that. So you know, not to be National League, but I think there's some value in playing the overs of some of these Tennessee games until the numbers catch up to this team, because we're not as good defensively and we're a lot better offensively than last year.
Well, and there's also a lot of value, Matt, in, let's face it, early season basketball, kind of like the football. It takes a while for the books to catch up to these teams. If you know what you're doing in these basketball deals, you can hammer some spreads early and take advantage of some weird lines, because there are just so many games and there's so much action out there, and they can't keep up with all of it.
You just don't know what teams are with all the turnover.
And who knows? I mean, like, that's right.
Like Kim Ingles, his team up there at George Mason. How could you have any idea what they're going to be, or ETSU, like Brian said, and they're just kind of a low spread. Like, you have no clue what kind of team ETSU is going to have.
No clue.
But the caller made a great observation about Kennedy Chandler and how smooth he looks. You know, I've noticed that in person. He just almost looks like he's playing at half speed, and then all of a sudden he's three steps behind a guy.
Exactly.
The Falcons-Cowboys game is such a blowout that they switched in the middle of the third quarter to the Redskins and the Bucks.
And that's not a close game either, is it? What's the score in that one?
It's 16-13 Washington over Tampa.
Oh, okay. I thought that game was more one-sided than that.
So Washington has seen their lead shrink.
Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome into our next call.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Raj.
Hey, Tony, buddy. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. Good to talk to y'all today. Yeah.
So final call of the day.
On Sunday. Huh?
Final call of the day.
Oh, really? Cool. The 25th on Sunday, you know, they usually play on a Saturday, but any reason why it's on Sunday? Tony, you know why it's on Sunday?
I think they wanted to schedule a game with football in mind and catch some people and then start. Would be my guess.
I might think
either that or it's scheduled for television.
Yeah,
which probably
they don't have any more games Sunday at home, and I think next Sunday is their last regularly scheduled Sunday game for the year.
Okay, I hear you. So how do you think that? I know we won by a lot of points today. Tennessee won by a lot today?
They're playing a team that's going to have a long year, even in their own league.
Okay.
And they should have hammered that team. I thought a 16-point line in that game was literally giving away money. I thought that was Vegas gifting people money.
Yeah, I think they led by more than 25 the entire second half.
Yeah, I would have played that game all day, every day. Of course, if that would have happened, it would have been a – Falls would have won on a last-second shot. But
I mean, I'm this, buddy. The team that played today, are they any good?
No, not any good at all.
Really? Okay.
No, they're going to have a long – Matt, from what you saw from East Tennessee State, going to be a long year for them, is it not? Matt left us. I guess that animal we heard must have attacked his equipment. Brian, is that what you would think?
Yeah, I think something like must have happened with him.
That sounded like a loud scratching, cat scratch fever kind of thing. Where's Ted Nugent when you need
him? I hope he's not treating Roger like he treated Joshy Boy yesterday.
Wow. That's possible, isn't it? He could have just heard Roger on there and hung the phone up.
Hope not.
You might have done that, Roger.
I hope not. Yeah, I like Matt.
Saints pulled within eight.
Yeah, he might have done that to you, Roger.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope not. I don't think he would do that.
I think he would do that to you, actually.
Really? Like he would?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Okay. Tennessee, did you learn anything new for Tennessee today?
Yeah, I think this Cumwell guy is a different basketball player than he was. Then my other observation is that this is already Kennedy Chandler's basketball team, and it's not even close. He is the alpha dog guy on this team. It's his basketball team.
Okay. I hear you. I'm going one today. It's like the team got a good team, got a lot from Bob and them today. That's a good thing, you know. That's good to get to the ball. You know, that's gonna make it fun that way, you know, this year. Can't wait to play it. It's coming Saturday, so just to have a good, how good we are, you know. We're playing Saturday, so
Brian, what great football game are we up against Saturday?
Let's see, the noon window.
Yes, give me the noon window that we're going to be going against. Who we have?
Let me see. These iPhones aren't as good as they.
I know. They're not as good as they claim to be. That's exactly right. You said it.
Totally overrated.
Make no mistake about it.
The noon window of games include.
Yes.
Florida State bought. Well, that's on ACC Network. Wake Forest, Clemson, 12:00.
Aight.
Georgia and Charleston Southern.
Oh.
Kentucky, New Mexico State. Michigan State, Ohio State, that's a biggie. Rutgers, Penn State, Texas, West Virginia, Purdue, Northwestern, Oklahoma, Iowa State, and that's pretty much the big games.
There's nothing in that window. Michigan State, Ohio State game is the biggest. Nothing in that window. Great. I mean, not nothing, but not like it can be. So, good, man. I'll be watching some hoops.
Because
it's still a little early for me with hoops, but
yeah.
Right on.
Roger,
you're the man. You're the man, buddy. You're the man. Quitting time.
But have a good day.
Love you, brother.
I'll see y'all. I got scat.
Brian, give me a final thought. Matt Dixon had to go. He sends his regards, and that really loud cat noise in the background sends its regards as well.
Well, it's good to have these games where you have bye games and you do what you're supposed to do early in the year. That's always a good sign because some teams end up losing these games and you just know it's going to be a long year. But we're certainly far removed from that. So I'm just happy that we got a program that's going to take care of business in these games.
Vol's going to be an underdog next Saturday, it looks like. Both KenPom and Torvik, which are two indicators, are both saying that Villanova will be a one-point favorite next week, Bri. So the Vols.
That's not bad on a neutral floor.
Heck no.
No, I'll take that.
No, they're an underdog against. It's good. You get the attention of your ball club.
By the way, the Lady Vols soccer team will play Washington State next Friday night.
What happened to Michigan?
The night before.
They're at Michigan.
They're going to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The other two teams there, Michigan and Wake Forest.
God, I love that Lady Vol soccer team. You got me all fired up right now, Bri, with that news. Absolutely got me all fired up. Give me a final thought, Bri, if you have one.
Well, that's pretty much it.
I'm glad, forever hold my peace.
We took care of our bye games. Got to do that again.
Make no mistake about it.
Brian, by the way, Tennessee's favored by 28 against South Alabama, against them on Saturday.
Woo! That's a lot of points, man. That's a lot of points. A lot of points.
See you, Tone.
Love you, Brian. Thank you. I want to thank Brian Hartman and Matt Dixon for being here. I want to thank all our incredible sponsors. I want to thank Marcos Garza, your Garza Law Firm, Calhoun's Copper Cellar. That whole operation, incredible. Miller Lite, thank you. Tom Marine Smoothie King, thank you. Alumni Hall, thank you. And I want to remind you, my man Adam Buckles, your Medicare specialist. Look, when it comes to your Medicare and your Medicare needs, if you're 65 and over, you owe it to yourself to give my man Adam Buckles a shot. Or if you're on disability, he can find you a better plan than you're on right now. And even if you're already on Medicare, he's going to find something better for you. 423-213-7655. You can find more information on him over at my website, our website, tclub.team, where tomorrow we will hit you with a several thousand word blog on the weekend that was, including some basketball notes. And no doubt some interesting stuff on the football team. Orange Sword will be by tomorrow as well, with maybe some machinations in terms of what's going on behind the scenes. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody today. Also, my friends up at Performance Medicine, Dr. Rogers, Yoshihiko to you. So thanks to everybody for helping us put on our festivities today, including the Tea Club members who chip in, give us a couple bucks a month, which allow people like you to enjoy this without a paywall. Maybe one day it comes to that. I don't know, but I hope it doesn't. You never say never in this life, and nothing's getting cheaper, as we all know in this society. For Brian Hartman and Matt Dixon and the entire cast and crew, this is Tony Basilio wishing you a great day. Be blessed, and go the Vols, the go. We love you. God bless. Go Vols.